All right, welcome golfers to the On Par Podcast. Looking forward to talking to Jeff Stein from Stein Golf Design. As you know, he's a friend of the program. He's been on before, and previously we've talked about his relatively short but illustrious career in the design and build side of the golf industry. So looking forward to talking with him. First, a word from our sponsors.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Frank Rossi of Cornell University. As the stewards of New York's golf courses, superintendents are dedicated to protecting our natural resources. In heavily developed areas like Long Island, golf courses offer large expanses of open space that provide environmental benefits such as allowing water to infiltrate into the ground naturally and providing habitat for native species such as bees and butterflies. To help manage golf courses in harmony with the environment, the state's golf industry has established a comprehensive best management practices program to educate and serve as a resource for superintendents. For more information, see our website at nysgolfbmp.cals.cornell.edu.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family featuring three different models designed for the better player to our JPX family featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
All right, and we're back. Pleased to be joined by Jeff Stein of Stein Golf Design. Jeff, welcome back to the program. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back with you. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. You know, obviously a different kind of year, getting used to. I know I'm getting kind of tired of this saying of the new normal, but and we'll get to that all in a second. But, you know, we're just doing the best we can, as we all are, right?
Yeah, good to hear that. And it's funny, the golf business, at least on my end of things, has been pretty busy, which is, I guess, a little ironic, but a blessing nonetheless.
Yeah, that's good. And I'm glad to hear that because obviously less industries and less parts of the world have been less fortunate and less sectors of the economy. So I'm glad, always glad to see that, hear that, you know, the good people are still getting things done and happy that you're still grinding away. That's great.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, outdoor healthful recreation like golf is never going out of style, and not even a pandemic can slow us down. So,
well, you know, just, I thought maybe just reintroduce yourself to some of the people maybe who didn't catch the last interview, just a little brief on a little bit about your career to this point.
Well, sure. I started my career as a Renaissance Design intern working for Tom Doak and Jim Urbina out at Old McDonald's Golflings, the Bandon Dunes Golf Resort. And my career has been following a steady track working for design and build firms like Renaissance, like Hance Design, like DeVries Designs, and I've spent my career learning the craft as an apprentice, an assistant, a design associate, and gaining responsibility in that world of design and build, basically, you know, designing in the field, making those critical decisions as you go. And currently, I am working with Watchung Valley Golf Club as their in-house design associate, and also with George Waters, making those you know, improvements to the golf course year after year, which is a great thing to see. Also with Superintendent Shannon Horn, and I'm also working as a design associate with Jim Urbina at the Blind Brook Golf Club in Purchase, New York. Another fantastic Seth Rayner golf course that I'm just getting to know and falling in love with at the same time.
So give us a little history of the Watchung Valley, a really cool golf course, really enjoyable. I've played it a couple of times, been fortunate enough. Just maybe a little bit about that golf course, and then we'll get into that into the project.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Watchung Valley Golf Club It's in Warren, New Jersey, and originally routed by Rayner, never completed by him. Local pro kind of put some bunkers out there and laid the course out. And, you know, to this day, it's remained that Rayner routing with the, I don't recall the name of the pro who did it, but it was obviously some Scotsman from who emigrated to New Jersey.
Sure.
And then since that time, the club owners hired George Waters to lay out a master plan to really formalize and coalesce those strategic template designs from Rayner. And George did a fantastic job of getting those templates in the ground on a pretty good piece of property that has a lot of variety. Part of it is on a big broad slope that the golf course traverses and tacks across. And then it gets into some really interesting rolling ground that makes for some exciting golf.
How does so where does someone like you and George, obviously George started putting things together. How does one even begin? You know that it's routed by Rayner. So, and we all, there's plenty of examples of Rayner. How does one start to, as you said, coalesce those ideas and start to implement them into some, implement their vision of what Rayner might have done?
Right. Yeah. You really want to get in the mindset of what Rayner might have done, or what would Rayner do here? What kind of template, would, fit this piece of ground best? And some of the best templates at Watchung Valley are kind of obvious. Like, it's kind of, when you know what you're looking for, it's almost, some of the times it's just sitting right there.
Sure.
There is a great punch bowl at Watchung Valley. Everybody raves about it, and it's a mid-length to short iron into a punch bowl green. You can barely see the top of the flagstick, and that one's, you know, that was built, that was put in by Rayner. Or at least planned to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Redan at Watchung is really a good one. And but there's also a bunch of templates out there that George kind of reimagined based on the topography and the landscape that best fit the ground there. So there's no one right way to put a template in the ground, and no two templates are the same, even though they might share the same name.
Yeah, and that's an interesting, thing that people, I don't think, gets talked about enough, that the interpretations of templates are, I think that's part of the beauty of it, that they're not all sort of cookie cutter, even though that's sort of ironic since considered it's a template, but it's not necessarily, it's just an interpretation of what a template would be.
Absolutely. And some of those features are more obvious than others. And that's what makes Watchung really a special place, because they honor Rayner's tradition of design, and it's totally unique in its own way.
When did you get involved, and what, you know, let's get into the sort of the nitty gritty, like, how have you and George worked together? What was sort of, what were you excited about when you got on property?
Well, sure. That's a two-part question. George and I know each other from previous historical restoration projects. We've restored a Tillinghast golf course together with Jim Urbina at Paramount Country Club.
Sure.
It was a really fun project and came out really well. And George and I have just always talked over the years. I always followed his path and what he was doing. And when he was hired at Watchung, we just kept talking about how I could get involved with some of the design, the field work. And it must have been 3 or 4 years ago, I did several holes with George and helping him get the design in the ground. I think his wife was just giving birth to their first child, so his responsibilities were called to elsewhere, and
yep.
I came stepping up to the plate. And it was great working with George in that capacity and watching him do his thing as an architect and myself helping him as a lead shaper and associate.
Sure.
And we've continued to, work with the club, and the club's given me some more responsibilities as they, we're really just trying to dial in the property now. The design is changes every year. We're going to add some bunkers this fall, take out some more trees. We built a brand new driving range practice facility last fall, and the club just continues to make improvements, and George is a big part of that.
When you first got on property, you said it's a really interesting piece of property. What challenges did it present? How is your relationship with that golf course evolve as you spent more time there?
That's a great question. As I mentioned before, the golf course starts kind of on a big, broad slope.
Right.
So the challenge of the routing is how to make the golf interesting and not just, one-sided golf where your ball always ends up on the bottom side of the hill every time.
Sure.
On holes 2 and 3, they pretty much zigzag across the hill. You go out one direction, you come back the next. So you're playing the same hillside, but the strategy is a bit different. Mm-hmm. Off the tee, and we got some did a little bit of earthwork to kind of make the landing areas more usable and create some strategic interest. So that's one way that Baltusrol, as an example, is another golf course highly respected that plays mostly along the toe of a large hillside, mountain mm-hmm. hillside, and the way they negotiate that is exactly how Watchung Valley, where they zigzag from, go out one direction, come back the next, and then the next hole is a par 3 straight up the hill. And then you hit your tee shot straight down the hill the next. So it's a pretty, it seems to be a common denominator between those two golf courses. One, of course, Baltusrol designed by Tillinghast, and Watchung Valley laid out by Rayner. And that's just, and then of course the golf course and the topography kind of moves around into some more interesting ground, not as severe, and you return to that hillside at the end of the round. So the way that the golf course is routed, where you don't spend too much time over the same piece of ground all at once, is really a really intelligent design by Rayner and George really maximized it with the features that he put out there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the strengths of this golf course, too, is the variety that's built into it. Like you said, you don't spend too much time in one part of the golf course, whereas a lot of times, you might go out and then back in so you spent you almost spend a nine holes on one side and then maybe go to nine on another. This one really traverses you around in a sort of, I don't want to say circular way, but it's really interesting, but it provides much more variety, but I find it to be distracting in a good way because you're constantly sort of revisiting another piece of the property, which makes the round it breaks up the rounds into like little pockets and makes the round go a little more, seems like it goes by faster and more enjoyable when it's like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's worth mentioning too, that the golf course does not return necessarily to the first tee after the ninth green.
Yes.
You the ninth green finishes below the clubhouse and on the other side of the clubhouse from the first tee.
Yep.
So it's a way to negotiate some severe ground in kind of a really walkable way. Watchung is very walkable golf course, even though it does have some broad, long slopes.
Yeah,
but that is one interesting feature that is, not always common, whether it be a Rayner course or whoever. So, you know, this is just one design where the ninth hole kind of finishes or goes out a field.
Yeah, I think that's great that it is a little different in that way. And then, of course, you raft a nine, which is that really strong par three. And then mm-hmm. you start on the back. The Redan, exactly. And then you get into the back nine where you and George have really brought out some strong template holes, and starting with the cape on 10. And then it's just hits that keep on coming on the back nine.
That's right. It's a really fun back nine, especially late in the evening. You feel like almost you're in southern Vermont. You can't see another house. It's just trees and a big broad Watchung Valley in front of you.
Yep. Where are you now at this point in that project, and where do you how much better can that place get?
Oh, I think the golf course is really getting dialed in by the superintendent Shannon Horn, and they have a great commitment from the owners. David Kronheim spends a lot of time working with Shannon and myself and George to just keep continually improving the golf course. And you just in one regard, we've taken out a lot of trees, and you just can't take them all down all at once, partly logistical, partly budgetary, mm-hmm. And also shock to the members too. So
sure.
Little by little, one winter storm after the other, you're gonna lose those unnecessary trees that are kind of
right.
closing in on you from both sides. And they really opened up some great views across the golf course, and people are generally pretty pleased with it, I think. And as I mentioned, we're talking about removing some more trees between the fifth and sixth holes, joining the fairways, and adding some dual bunkers that have a use for one hole or the other, but are kind of connected and mm-hmm. and really tie the holes and tie that piece of ground together. We've already connected the fairway across that side of the golf course on 6 and 7.
Yep.
So we're just kind of moving our way across, connecting fairways and opening up sight lines, improving the turf conditions. And, it takes years and years to get that really dialed in, but they're well on their way. The club is doing great.
I always like to ask, I'm always interested, anything unique into every golf course is its little ecosystem. What is unique about that property in terms of its turf and agronomy, and what was anything that was particularly challenging about the property?
Oh, absolutely. The fact that it's on the side of a mountain,
right?
A small mountain at that, but mm-hmm. it's rocky clay soil, lack of topsoil,
mm-hmm.
And that's if you not every project has an unlimited budget. This project or this master planning process certainly was limited in scope in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So the edges of the property are a little rough around the edges. The rocks really heat up the soil, heat up the grass. So we've got the right grasses out there, some fescues in the rough, and it's starting to come together. I really like the presentation of the roughs
mm-hmm.
at Watchung, and you get those kind of random lies, random good lies in the rough. So it's not so much if you're off the fairway, you're just absolutely behind the eight ball,
mm-hmm.
Or behind 4 inches of rough. There's some really nice wispy grass out there that can often or springy turf that can yield really good results if you get a little lucky.
Yeah,
I'm all about the rub of the green, so to say.
Yeah, no, I think that's important, and I agree. And you even get some lies that look good that aren't as good as they look. And but I like And I have to remember to listen to the design builder. But but I do like that presentation. I do like that aspect of it, even though that takes a lot of work. People don't realize fescue is not so much easier. It's not as easy as it looks to have it play like that. It's almost it's a lot of work to keep it random like that than it is to then just make it, you know, unplayable, really.
Well, you're constantly, those quote unquote low maintenance or native areas do require a lot of attention, and you're constantly fighting weeds. You've got to get the turf coverage.
Yeah.
And that takes a long time.
Sure. Sure. What else is new? Like your company, you know, how is the your company evolving, and what do you see around the next corner for you?
Well, yeah, thanks for asking. I have some good things on the horizon. Started working with a close friend who's also a visual artist. He's a painter,
mm-hmm.
and he's really taken to the landscape side of the art form, the actual creating the landscape side of the art form rather than just putting it on a canvas. And I'm really excited to be working with him at Blindbrook as a trainee and assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really picking up things well. So I've got a new employee at Steindorf Design, which is really cool. And also I will be working with Kyle Franz at Rock Spring Golf Club, restoring the Rainer and Banks features over there in Essex County. So that's really exciting on my horizon.
Absolutely. One of the things that impresses me about you and just how smart you go about things, I really found it interesting. For those of you who didn't maybe perhaps listen to or catch our first interview, but Jeff, when he was interviewing with, I believe it was Doak, and you sent him your art portfolio, didn't you? Wasn't that one of the things that you sent him?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I've always viewed golf architecture and design as a multidisciplinary craft.
Yeah.
And pulling skills, personally pulling my photography background. I've been shooting film since I was a teenager and still shoot film. I develop my own prints and all that. And it's helped me develop my eye on the golf course and attention to detail more than anything.
Sure.
I think that set me apart as a prospective intern with Renaissance. I believe that had to help me coming from a different point of view than most of the traditional landscape architecture students or agronomy students.
Yeah, and I do. I thought that was, I agree, and I think that was really smart, and I'm sure that it obviously did catch Tom Doak's eye, and I'm not sure, I don't know if we ever told you that, if that made the difference, but I would think it did. You got to find ways to set yourself apart. And then on top of that, like now you have, I mean, how many design build companies can say they have a qualified and established painter artist to be part of their team. I really think, you know, when you think about golf courses and how they visually present and, you know, the layers and the textures that can be presented on a golf course, and to have a someone like that on your staff can only enhance the visual presentation and the experience for the golfer.
I'm really excited for Dan's contribution mm-hmm. to the work that we're doing. And he's just blossoming as a landscape artist.
Right.
He's a full-fledged landscape painter and very accomplished in his own right.
Sure.
So it's an exciting time for the both of us.
Yeah, I can imagine. And to have someone who is a longtime friend, that's got to be fun too. Like you guys have always been in contact, but now you're sort of professionally connected, which is sort of interesting in its own way too.
Yeah, it makes things fun too.
Absolutely. When are you going to start at Rock Spring? Is that do you have any idea about that or?
Well, Rock Spring's still in some preliminary planning.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle and I have been selected to handle their master planning process. But I think the pandemic situation has kind of slowed things down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we'll just have to wait and see what the town of West Orange is willing and able to do in the next, you know, few months or the next year or so.
Sure.
So I would have to come check in with me then.
Well, I look forward to going out there with you, and I'd love to at one point maybe spend some time with you if that's allowed when you're on property and you're doing stuff.
It's a public golf course. Anybody can go out there. That's what's so exciting about Rock Spring is that it's only one of two Seth Rayner routed designs available to the public, open to the public. You know, this is really the people's Rayner at Rock Spring, and the town of West Orange should be applauded for buying the club back from the Montclair Golf Club and making it a public amenity.
Have you been to the property? Is it quintessential Rayner? Is there stuff there that people will recognize right away, even for the armchair
absolutely.
Architect?
Yeah, you'll see right off the bat the Redan is fantastic, the double plateau, road hole. They have a lion's mouth. It's got, you know, everything. There's a lot of really obvious templates out there that are a blast to play. The routing is very good, and it was built by Banks.
Mm-hmm.
So you see some of Banks's influences as well, some bigger features than on a smaller piece of ground, but Banks was prone to move a lot of earth.
Sure.
So it's nice to see the nuances that Banks brings to the table as well.
Well, look forward to seeing it. And as always, a pleasure to talk with you. And look forward to your very bright future, yours and Dan's very bright future.
That's great, Anthony. Thank you so much for having me on again. And we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. All right, folks. That was Jeff Stein from Stein Golf Design. Looking forward to seeing how meeting up with him down the road. As always, thank you for tuning in and appreciate your support. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.